And we're going to start off in Matthew. No, I apologize, Mark. Close to Matthew, same kind of area. Starts with M's. So we're in the New Testament, Mark chapter 15. And I wanted to share something that's been close to my heart the last few weeks or months. I've just been kind of wrestling through this kind of a thought process just about a relationship with Jesus. What does that really look like? How do we interact with God that we can't see? And so I want to just pull some scriptures out to kind of reiterate some thoughts that I've been thinking. So here we go, Matthew chapter 15. No, we're not in Matthew. I apologize again. We're going to go back to Mark, Mark chapter 15, verse 33. So this is, again, close to Jesus. He's being crucified. He's dying on a cross. He's having, you know, pretty much his last breath. And in verse 33, it says, at the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? If we were to give a title to this sermon, if you go and look it up later online, you'll find it on our website, I'd probably call it something like covenant relationship. What does a covenant relationship look like? And so when we look it up, what does covenant mean? It's a contract. It's an agreement, if we look at it biblically, between God and his people. He's made a covenant with us in which God makes promises to us, his people. God makes promises so we can have a covenant relationship. We can trust God because God has shown us clearly here that he's trustworthy and he wants us to have a relationship with him. So in this moment, if you think about the triune Godhead, we have God the Father up in heaven. We have God the Son, Jesus Christ, hanging on a cross. And we know that God the Holy Spirit is at work, and he's definitely going to become at work when we read later on in the book of Acts. But we see here that at this very moment, Jesus Christ cries out to God because his relationship with God the Father has been severed because of sin. He's hanging there with all of our sin upon himself. And he doesn't cry out to God like I think I would, like, this is bloody painful up here, God. I am hanging here bleeding to death. God, get me out of this situation. Get me off this cross. Look at all these evil people like laughing at me and spitting and mocking me. God, just knock these people out. Create an earthquake and just wipe them right out. Jesus cries out only one thing. I don't have a relationship with my Heavenly Father right now, and that is top priority to me. That's a covenant relationship. It was severed, and he knew it, and he felt it. And I just wonder, do we feel that when those kind of things happen? Now, I don't want to go so far to say that, you know, you got to stop living, you got to stop, you know, caring about your family, you got to stop working, you got to get so religious, make it a religion where you just are all quiet now, you kind of humble yourself and there's this quiet moment all day long and don't ever disturb me because I need to have this covenant relationship with God that the pastor's telling me about. That's not what we're talking about. That's legalistic. What we're talking about is a relationship with your Heavenly Father that you walk with him all throughout the day. How do you have relationship with God in every moment, in every breath, as you live your life? That's what we're talking about, a covenant relationship. Not legalistic. It's not about rules. But when we sin and our relationship with God is severed, like Jesus, I wonder if we notice anymore. In a sense, I'm so mature. I've grown up so much in the church, and I know the word so well. I wonder if we forget. I wonder if we've stopped remembering, like we talked about communion, about what it's like to be separated from God. Now, when we sin, do we notice? Do we actually, like Jesus cried out, my God, where are you? I can't go another step without you. Or have we become comfortable around sin? When sin happens in our lives, we just kind of go through the motions. We forget about what it's like to be in a relationship with Jesus, a close relationship. And I wonder, and I challenge myself with this thought, have we just kind of said, well, God, this is pretty much probably as good as I'm going to get. You know, you've done a great work, God. Look, I'm way better. I don't think those thoughts anymore. I don't use those four-letter words anymore. I don't drink and smoke these things anymore. that's probably as good as it's going to get. I can't get any better, God. I've worked at it, and there's just no way. And I just wonder if God says, if you were in a tight relationship with me, a covenant relationship with me, you won't even be thinking about those things. Because when you're in communion with God, God uses you and he speaks through you in a way that is far beyond your thinking or what you, as good as you think you could get. So let me have some fun with you this morning in the sense of sharing some personal stories as always. We're going to use the school bus as an imagery. And we're going to look at some quick photos because a school bus to me is like dirty, old, smelly, youth, stinky school bus. But I want you to imagine the school bus of your dreams. So I've got three quick photos here this morning. The first one is like maybe like the low-riding, big wheels, kind of like decked-out school bus. And you're like, oh, yeah, that would be a cool school bus. Or maybe the other one is you're thinking about like you're kind of old school. You're like, I like kind of like the old kind of bus. Like, oh, yeah, the big headers and brum, brum, you know. You know, jillion, you know, horsepower. Or maybe you're like me, you lived in the north my whole life. You might need a school bus like this one. Like, now that's what I'm talking about, man. Like, seriously, that's what you need because there's so much snow all the time and you could never get anywhere. So, okay, you've got this school bus image in your mind, okay? So when I was a youth pastor in the Yukon for a lot of years, we would go two places. So in the spring, we'd come all the way down, 35-hour drive to go to Vancouver to go to History Maker. And then in the fall, we'd have another conference in Alaska with the Assemblies of God. That was only 12 hours away. I'm going to tell you about that other story after. Let's talk about the first story. 35-hour drive, and we go all the way down to History Maker. And so after 35 hours, you know, you're red eyes, you're exhausted, you get into Vancouver, and it's just wall-to-wall traffic, and we're like, oh, praise God, we made it. And we're getting in there, all of a sudden you're like, what's that smell? And you're like, and I'm not talking about the kid's smell. I mean, that's a different smell. But I'm talking about, that's a diesel smell. And I'm thinking, we're in wall-to-wall traffic. I'm thinking, it's probably somebody else. It can't be us. We just keep driving. I get to the hotel, and I'm still smelling diesel. So I phone the mechanic where we bought the bus because we bought it in Vancouver, drove it up to Whitehorse. I phone the mechanic where we bought the bus. I line it up the next day to get it looked at. So I get the bus, and I take the kids to the History Maker, and I'm going to get off the bus, you know, go have fun. I take it over to the mechanic's place, and I turn the bus off. I go inside. Hey, how's everyone doing? You know, great to see you guys again. I haven't seen you for a long time. Let's have a look at the bus. Okay, so we pop the hood, and I go to turn it on. He says, okay, so turn it on, and then we'll have a look. And I turn it on, and as soon as I turn it on, he's like, turn it off, turn it off. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on? And so I go out there. It's just spewing diesel everywhere. Like, it might have been like a pinhole maybe when I was smelling it, but by the time I got it to him, thank God that we made it, because you know what it's like driving anywhere in the north? It's 5 or 6 hours between anybody that would care about how to deal with a bus, so the Lord got us there, thank God, and then as soon as I pulled in the shop, it was seeping diesel everywhere. And I share that story with you because I think it's so important. If you have the image in your mind of like whatever kind of bus you like, whatever kind of, you know, decked out bus. Our bus was decked out. Like it had 6x9s with subwoofers. It had a 1,000-watt Alpine amplifier, liquid cooled. It had a big screen TV. It had lights on the inside of the bus. It was just amazing, the bus. But under the old hood was a problem. And so I wonder this morning, now for those of us online, you might not be looking, so you just woke up, your hair's all messed up, you're still in your jammies. But for the rest of us, you got all dressed up, you came to church, you want to wear your nicest stuff, right? But I wonder if under the hood, if there's something leaking. I wonder if under the hood, if there's that sin in your life, it's just messing things up internally. And you can dress it all up all you want, but under the hood, there's still something wrong. And I wonder if we want to deal with that anymore. I wonder if you can even smell it anymore. Or if we just kind of said, God, that's as good as I get. I can't deal with this. I can't be free of that. That's really a challenge for me. Let's look into the Old Testament now. So Jeremiah is a prophet in the Old Testament, and he's speaking about God's people and about asking them again to not forget. So often we find in Scripture time and time again, don't forget, be reminded. Let me tell you a story. These are the kind of things we love. So in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord came to me. Go and proclaim the hearing of Jerusalem. Listen to what it says here. There's four things. I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me, and you followed me through the desert, through a land not sown. Israel was the holy, was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who devoured her were held guilty, and disaster overtook them, declares the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, all you clans of the house of Israel. This is what the Lord says. What fault did your fathers find in me? What fault could you really find in God? That they strayed so far from me, they followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. This is the key right here. They did not ask, where's the Lord? Who brought us out of Egypt and led us through the barren wilderness, through a land of deserts and rifts and a land of drought and darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives. Where's the Lord that saved us? Where's the Lord that brought us out of condemnation and wickedness? Verse 7. I brought you into a fertile land. When you got saved, you were given a blessing to eat of its fruit and rich produce, but you came and defiled my land and made my inheritance detestable. Verse 8, the priests did not ask, where's the Lord? Those who deal with the law did not know me. The leaders rebelled against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and following worthless idols. Man, we can learn so much from this verse, can't we? Remember when we used to be fully devoted to the Lord, when we first got saved. I don't know what your salvation experience was like. I didn't go to church. I got saved late. I didn't understand this thing. So I got myself a big old Bible, hardcover. That was good. That was on sale. And so the New Testament, I just read it. I just read it again and again and again because I didn't understand it. And I would highlight. And by the time I got that Bible still at home, and I was just so hungry for the word because I was so lost. And so I wonder if we're still like that today. Do we still depend? Like the devotion of your youth. Like the devotion of when you first got saved. That first love for God. Before all these other things came in and distorted that. The second thought was, you know, like the bride. Like when you fall in love. When you're just like head over heels. And your parents have to help you, right? To think clearly because your mind's mush at that point, right? You love the person no matter what they do. You're infatuated. You're just, you know, this is the right person. And there's just this love. Is there a love for God like that? Or is it tainted now? Are you questioning some of the things that God's done for you? And then the last thing is that they follow me. Do we listen to his commands? Do we follow him wholeheartedly? Have we allowed other things to come in and take away and we've kind of justified some of the things that we do? Or do we follow him all the way? You never stop to ask upon the Lord. Again, as we get mature, we sometimes forget. But let us remember, there's this covenant relationship. God has done his part. He's standing there. He's knocking. And are we going to continue to allow him to come in? Or do we put up walls in certain areas? Or do we say, well, that door's closed. We can't let God into that area. So at the very end here in the book of Revelation, there is a lot of footnotes in my Bible here. In Revelation, here we go, chapter 2, we read about, in the end, about some of the way churches are acting in the end. And we know this as churches, as we get near the end, there's going to be some pressure on the church. There's going to be some confusion on the church. And so it speaks about the first church here. So let's just read it here. So Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. Look at all the things. There's eight things here. I know your deeds. So when you're looking at this church, you're like, I see the good deeds you're doing, your hard work, and your perseverance. And I know that you can't tolerate wicked men. There's some discernment there. And you've tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You test what's being said to make sure that it lines up with truth. In chapter 2, verse 3, you have persevered, and you have endured hardship, 7, for my name, and you have not grown weary, 8 great traits, 8 great qualities. But then in verse 4 comes the truth, comes when we open up the hood of the engine. What's really in there? Is there some things leaking and broken? Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. You've chased all of these things. You're chasing your tail that you can and do all these things for God. And God's just saying, all I desire is relationship. Again, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, the only thing he was worried about was relationship. Nothing else. And when we're dying and hanging and suffering, is that where we go to? A close relationship with Jesus. Do we cry out to him? I mean, Jesus Christ cried out to God. Exclamation points we see in there. Like, it was painfully crying out to God. Oh, God, I'm without you right now. I feel lost. I feel apart from you. God's not focused on what we can do and have done for him or can do in his name. He's extremely interested that we've fallen away from our first love, and he wants to have that covenant relationship with you again. Don't let anything get in that way. Don't let anything separate you from that, from the perfect love of God. Oh, that's so important. We've got to understand that. Let me share the second thought about the school bus here with you. So when we, again, lived in Whitehorse, we'd go south in the spring, go down to History Maker. That was a lot of fun. And then in the fall, we'd take the school bus and we'd go into Alaska, into Anchorage. And the conference wasn't as big, not as many people, but it was still cool because it was only 12 hours away. You could do that in one day. The other, you know, we were driving for 3 days. So as we're driving, if you've been up north, that far north, that everything's built on permafrost because that's just the whole north. And so when the highways in the spring and the fall, they kind of heave in a lot of times. And they can't stay on top of it. I mean, you just spend $1 jillion to try and make the road real nice like it is down here. So constantly the roads are like this. And so when we're driving the school bus, two things happen. Kids that love rides move to the back. Kids that get seasick move to the front. Because when I'm driving, I'm watching the luggage in the rearview mirror go boom and hit the roof. I'm watching kids fly out of their seats and hit the ceiling because it's just frost heaves everywhere. And so we're having a great time, and kids are in the front, and giving them gravel and in the bags, and the rest of the guys are having a great time in the back. And so you got the music cranking, and everyone's having a good time. Woohoo! You know, we're going to Anchorage. It's going to be awesome. And it's a short drive, and this will be a piece of cake, right? My leaders are like, oh, we love this trip. It's so much easier. And so we're going along. And a youth comes up, because I had my driver's license, so in my class too, I love driving. And so the youth comes over to me and says, hey, there's sparks coming out of the back of the bus. And I'm like, what? I'm like, on the inside or the outside? I thought he was just messing with my mind, right? So he takes off. I'm like, sorry, but I grab my leaders. Hey, get over here. Grab my leaders. Go check the back of the bus, see what's happening. So he comes running back. He's like, dude, there's tons of sparks coming out of the back of the bus. So, like, pull over. We've got to figure out what's wrong. So we pull over the side of the road. And we get out, and like, the exhaust pipe on a school bus is massive, right? It's thick and heavy metal. And so at some point, there's a hanger on the back of the bus. It had fallen off, so the tailpipe was dragging on the ground. Now, it turned out really cool, because then it had this cutoff, because it had kind of grinded off, so it looked really awesome. Like, that tailpipe looks cool now, right? And it was, the smell from the tailpipe and all the metal. And so we're standing there, like, we're in the middle of nowhere. Okay, like, you know what it's like in the north. You just drive. There's no, like, well, corner store. You just pick up some bale wire or something, right? Like, the hanger's cooked. It's broken. It's rusted off. And so we're all standing there scratching our heads thinking, like, okay, God, what are you going to do now? Like, how are we going to get this thing to Anchorage? So, of course, in the north, it's freezing. Everybody has an extension cord because it's minus 40. And if you got to keep that bus hot, otherwise it will never turn over in the morning. So we're like, perfect. So we take the extension cord, and we got a picture of this morning, and we tie the tailpipe up. Like, come on. Like, that's a brilliant idea, right? In those extension cords, just like copper wires and stuff, that'll hold together. As we're tying it to the, oh my word, there's like that rubber casing melting. You're like, oh, quick, we tie it. We get out of here, man. You know, and then we boop, off we go. So again, when we pull into Anchorage, we pull into the conference, everybody's listening to the bus, you know, bus is just pumping and lights are going like we're the coolest youth group on the planet. But you don't realize that underneath the bus is broken. It looks great. It even sounds great. It might not smell so great, actually, but either way, it's the same for you and I, isn't it? On the outside, we can look great. This really challenges me to my inner core. We can have it all together. What looks like we have it all together. But internally, we're broken. And I wonder what things are just really holding you together. That you're just in this place in life where you're like, if one more thing happens, it's going to come apart. That's where God wants to meet you. That's where God wants to have that intimate relationship with you, where you can trust him and he will put you back together so you won't be broken again and you won't break again. That's the kind of relationship that God is challenging us to have with him. It goes on to say in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me." You might have to, in your life, turn the volume down. Now, in the basement of my house, we do this sometimes. Moses and I and a few others like to just crank up the music, and Dave would have a good time, too, if he was there. And, my wife likes to listen to music upstairs. And so when I listen to music, I can't listen to music unless it's like I can feel it, in here. So we go in the basement to do that, But in your life, in your schedule, in your free time, you might have to turn it all down and just tune into God. Because so easily we could just be completely distracted. We can completely fill up our lives with all these kind of things and never hear the voice of God anymore and realize that we're leaking and we're barely holding it together. God doesn't want that. God isn't like, awesome, you made it to church and you're going to youth group and you're, going to Bible study and that kind of stuff, but you're broken inside. God wants that intimate relationship with you. Out of that, all those other things will happen. If you put your eyes on those other things, you'll constantly feel empty and broken. I know that firsthand. I've lived that way before. And I just allow God more and more. It's a journey. I haven't figured it out. I'm just telling you what will be encouraging to you. It might be honestly scary and frightening sometimes, the things that God wants you to kind of confront or deal with. But it's the greatest reward. It's the greatest freedom and joy you're ever going to experience is when you deal with those kind of things. Just like in the garden, we find so often, this runs all throughout history. We see in Genesis. We've gone from Genesis to Revelation. This story is all throughout here. We can only touch on so many of them. Genesis chapter 3. God creates humanity, creates Adam and Eve. Then he goes looking for them. He knows they sinned. He's not foolish. Verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He knew that they had sinned. He knew that they were hiding, but he still calls out to them, "Where are you?" And it's the same thing we just read in Revelation. "Here I am, I'm standing. I'm knocking at the door of your heart. Will you allow me to come in? I want a relationship with you." It's the most important thing. We have to stop hiding. We have to stop pretending. And we have to get right with our God. This is going to be the first service that we're going to end this way. For those that are online, we're going to just close in a prayer and we're going to release them. But we're going to have a time of altar time during the last song. So I've not even invited these people. This is going to be a lot of fun. So Graham and Joanne, would you guys come up to this side where the Christmas trees are and be available for prayer? Len and Colleen, I already asked you, so you're okay. You're going to come up here. Me and my wife are going to be here, Amelie. And then who else do we have on my prayer team? Who's over in this area? Lorna and Frank, would you guys just be available on the side here, kind of where Pete is? But let's just close in a prayer because I feel like God's speaking to you. And I want you to be able to respond and feel comfortable to come to the front and receive prayer. And if that's not you, then that's great. Pete's going to lead us through worship, and we're going to sing together a final song, and then we'll get dismissed at the end. So, Father, this morning we thank you for what you're teaching us in and through this church. God, we just praise you for allowing us to have a close and intimate relationship with you. God, you already went ahead of us. You've already prepared the way so that we can have that relationship. It's not about our might or what we do. It's about you and everything that you have done in advance for us. So, God, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.